Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We are rejoicing here at Stonecroft. All of our Stonecroft staff met in Kansas a couple of weeks ago. And of course, we had lots of meetings and made big plans, but it was also a time of worship and prayer and lots of rejoicing over what God is doing in this ministry. So thank you to you, our volunteers, for joining us on this journey. We're so very thankful for you and love and appreciate you so much. Of course, whenever I hear the word rejoice, Psalms 118, 24 comes to mind. So I'm going to share that with you. And then Cheryl, I'll turn it over to you to lead us through more examples of rejoicing. Psalm 118, 24 in the New Living Translation reads, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it."
Yes, and we are rejoicing here, and it's been my privilege to go around and visit with so many groups and leaders at different times throughout the year and hear creative ways that you are reaching your communities with the gospel. And of course, that is all of why we do what we do. We want to get the gospel out in any way we can. And so this call is for you. If you're interested in coming up with ways to energize and rejuvenate ways to reach out to women with the gospel in your city, okay? So we're going to get started. And on this call today, I'll tell you who all is here. That is Cindy Bartz and Julie Wilson out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are regional representatives as well as newly appointed Stonecroft speaker consultants and highly involved in this ministry, and they're going to talk about their group there. Anita Bacon, a leader in Alaska, will be sharing with us some creative ways that she's engaging women to be involved in ministry. And then Georgia Basco, who's a Stonecroft regional administrator, is going to share about something more personal, how she's engaging right in her neighborhood. And then there's some of you on this call that you may want to share, so we'll wait for that for a bit later, but let's get started. And Julie and Cindy, take it away.
All right, Cindy, Cheryl, can you hear me?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, great. We can hear you both. Yay.
Okay, great. All right. Well, greetings from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Julie and I couldn't be more excited to be a part of Stonecroft Ministry right now. We have so much expectancy for what God is doing in Stonecroft and the next generation all over the world. We actually feel that God is moving, and we're just trying to keep up with all that he wants to accomplish in our club. We also believe wholeheartedly that no matter the generation, the stage or age or season of life we find ourselves in, that God has more for Stonecroft and more for each of us and our clubs. We appreciate that each club is unique and has its own personality. We hope something that we share today will spark some hope and some creativity that can be of value to your club. And we can't wait to gain new ideas and insight from Anita and Georgia and those that are on the conference call. We're thrilled to be a part of this conversation. And so let's get started. Julie, why don't you start out and share about the team approach that we're using to carry forward the mission of the gospel in our area?
Well, I am equally delighted to be a part of this. And I really think that some of our experiences may serve to give you all hope in your areas. And that is our purpose. About 4.5 years ago, Cindy and I realized that our club was slowly dying through lack of leadership, tired volunteers, general lack of enthusiasm. And those who were still passionate were almost looking for other areas that they can use their gifts that had more vision and purpose. And so we prayed and asked God what to do, and he laid on our hearts to combine ministry with mentorship. And we listed all the various responsibilities, and then we divided it up among teams. And these teams would be multi-generational teams, and they would work together to accomplish their given tasks. Our 5 teams that we came up with for our area were administration, event planning, prayer, care and connect, reservations, and hospitality. But I will tell you, ladies, our Prayer, Care, and Connect team is by far our strongest group and is probably responsible for a lot of the things that we're seeing happen. Now, you can read more about the team approach and how to organize your team, your group and teams, if you want, on the handbook that's online. Well, then next we tried to think of some new things. We tried doing events both day and night at different venues throughout our city. We did have some concern that we would lose people because of not being consistent in on the same day, the same venue, the same time. But I can tell you we did not worry because we felt like we were following God's leading. And he consistently opened the right doors right when we needed it. As we shared with our team, people came forward with ideas. One of these ladies was actually an SRA for the state of Oklahoma for many years, Joanne Beaver. She had met the owner of Old School Bagel in Tulsa, and he told her that their bagel shop closed at 4 p.m., but that they were looking for ways to invite groups in to use their facility at night. So Joanne suggested that we have an event at night at the bagel place. I was concerned because I thought, who wants to eat bagels at night? But they had an extensive menu, and we could choose things, and the people loved it. Then we decided we would try other things. So we have been all over Tulsa, literally. Next month, we're doing something we have never done before. We are meeting in a neighborhood clubhouse that has a pool. It's closed at night, and so we have the whole facility to ourselves. It does not cost us anything, and we are planning to spread the invitations throughout the neighborhood. By having it during the day, or I'm sorry, by having it during the summer, we're hoping that we can attract college-age students, teenagers, their moms, and the whole goal is to open the gospel to more and more people. One last thing I wanted to share that we decided to do when we started the team approach, we started doing icebreakers at all of our events. And I'll give you an example. This time, that we just had an event on Tuesday, and we said we were going to have people make new friends at Tulsa Woven's, quote, summer camp. So we asked them questions about themselves that they would fill in on the sheet of paper, like, do you prefer the mountains or the beach? Do you pack light or overpack for a trip, et cetera? Different things that would be easy for them to answer. And then we told them to find their twin in the room. And I cannot tell you, we could barely get them to stop talking to have our event. They were so excited. So anyhow, Cindy, I know people are probably thinking, well, this is probably a piece of cake for you guys, but can you tell them what it was like?
Well, yes, people will ask sometimes, I guess you all don't have any challenges in your area or in your own family lives, and that has certainly not been the case. Over the last couple of years, we definitely have persevered and pushed through. Julie's wonderful, precious mother was our one of our area reps, and she has Alzheimer's and so is now in assisted living that Julie is caring for her mother. We moved our mother-in-law from Chicago here, is now in that same facility, and we're caring for her. Last year we had two, unfortunately, deaths in our family, but we also got to celebrate two wonderful births of grandbabies. So we definitely pushed through during that time. I also had a sister that came and lived with me for 7 months that was going through quite a tough transition in her life. So we definitely have had to push through in some areas, but our Woven team has helped us, has prayed us through situations, and we do life together. So we've seen a lot of great things happen as well, but there's been some perseverance. I will say, since Woven, it was Broken Arrow Christian Women's Club, and we had two clubs that went together to form Woven, which is under Stonecroft, and we call it that. It's Women of Vision Embracing Now. We have been in existence for 4 years. We're now seeing fruit every month. We just had an event on Tuesday at the Old School Bagel that Julie mentioned. Almost 80 people attended, 21 first-time guests, all ages and stages of life. We had a girl that serves there, Emma, We'll talk about her later. She's age 10 all the way up to late 80s. We and our committee, I would have to say, wouldn't you agree, Julie, we've had to learn how to become fearless.
Yes, absolutely.
We aren't afraid of failure. When things don't work, we simply step back as a team, we pray, and we ask God, what do we do now? How do we do it differently? And when things don't work, we don't consider it a failure. We say it's an experiment that didn't work. We wait for further directions from God, and He has not failed us yet.
It's funny because we've told our team we are piloting things. And when
yes.
they see it as a pilot, it doesn't seem like there's as much pressure. And I feel like that has given us the freedom to think way outside the box, to kind of do things that are a little bit scary, but have turned out to be so beneficial. One side benefit that I was not expecting, Cindy, I don't think you mentioned, we used to run, I mean, back in the 80s, we probably ran 200 people at our event. But mm-hmm. it slowly was dwindling. But at some point, we were probably just over 100. But I will say most of those women were regular attenders. We were not reaching first-time guests. We certainly weren't reaching younger women. And so we lost people as a result of this. Okay, I can tell you we lost people because now we're running around 80 to 100 sometimes. But I will tell you the mix of people has completely changed. And it is almost, it's hard to imagine how different our club looks now. But one side benefit that I was not expecting was we have had women who used to be involved for years in Stonecroft that kind of stepped back when we made these changes because I think it concerned them. And now they are rejoining us. But not only that, I had a lady call me and say, I want to sponsor the card because I want to be a part of what you guys are doing. Because it's exciting. Mm-hmm. They're seeing what's happening, and they're coming mm-hmm. back little mm-hmm. by little.
And they really want to have a part. They don't want to just join us. They want to serve with us, and they're excited about what they're seeing God do. Another awesome thing we've seen is that we're gaining a lot of younger members, and we're seeing the value in mentoring. Julie has mentored for several years three different girls every year. And is having much success with them. They seem to find her. She finds them. I've had the same thing happen as well as Mavis. She's one of our wiser, more mature members of our group. We just love Mavis. And she has reached out to younger women. She reached out to a young woman named Monica through a business situation and invited her to come who was not going to church. And she invited Monica. Monica got involved. We got her involved right away. And she is serving on our event planning team as our program coordinator. And then Monica started bringing her young daughter, Emma, who was 10. Emma started loving coming to our groups, and we loved Emma. She was full of life, and she had lots of questions. And she finally asked Jesus into her heart through this ministry. And now we've got her serving, and she can't wait to come every month. If it's during the school year, then she can't come during our lunches, but she will come during our evening events. Also, I mentioned my sister, Darla, that came to live with us last year in a tough transition of her life. The Woven Women surrounded her. They loved her. They encouraged her. We started inviting her. She came with us to our prayer connections, to the prayer team. She came to our events. And then we asked Darla, you have great marketing skills. Will you help us? And she started helping us and coming out of her sadness and being healed. She's now moved out of our house into an apartment. She's flourishing in her job. She takes Woven invitations everywhere she goes. We could not be happier of what's happening in Darla's life. And then Darla met a young woman for lunch named Loretta. Well, Loretta wanted to be a speaker. She had a testimony to share. At the end of the luncheon, Loretta said, Darla, I know we've talked about a lot today, but you wouldn't happen by any chance to know anyone that is involved with Stonecroft Ministries. Someone told me once that I needed to be a speaker. I've only been through an area that had a Christian women's group just one time. And Darla was able to say, yes, Julie Wilson, Cindy, my sister, that's what they do. They would love to help you. We met with Loretta. Loretta is now one of our wonderful young new speakers. We also got Loretta involved in Woven, and she has helped chair several events for us. So once you visit, we try to get our ladies plugged in just as soon as possible.
That's really true, because we found that when people come and they express any interest at all, or if we see them as a bright spark, we immediately ask them if they can help, especially with our hospitality team, because we tell them we need greeters. We need people to facilitate the icebreaker, to work the photo booth. And then what that does is it gives them ownership, and they have a feeling of belonging, and they're invested in it. One thing that we have also found, we have a thing called a huddle. And the huddle is something where we have our committee meet 30 minutes before the event, or before people start arriving for the event. And we have a short devotional by someone on our Prayer, Care, and Connect team. And then we pray over the event. Now, what that does is for those that are brand new to Stonecroft and maybe even brand new Christians, it's a lot less intimidating to do something like that for the first time than kind of a prayer and planning meeting where they're afraid they'll be asked to pray. It's very low-key. They will do that, and then they start to feel comfortable enough around us that they'll come to our prayer and planning meeting. But that's just another way of kind of bringing them in little by little. We're also seeing our members, our older members especially, get excited about inviting their younger family members. One lady on Tuesday had 7 of her family members with her. Now, this included all the women in her family, even ex-daughter-in-laws. She also had several teenage granddaughters. And what was really cute is the month before, she brought one of her granddaughters. And that girl was so excited that she went back and told her cousin how fun it was. So yes. As a result, on Tuesday, one of those young girls marked, checked the box that said, I want to know how to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm. I would also say look for every opportunity that you have. Last year we were given the opportunity, and many of you were, to be involved in something that Stonecroft held called Gather, Dream, and Go. Now, I have to tell you, Julie and I weren't as excited about it at that point, going through a lot of family situations, but we were obedient as we were asked to be the co-chair. But through that obedience, I will tell you, we got several really amazing speakers. The speakers knew other Christian speakers in our area that we had never used, and bloggers, so they put us in touch with them. We've also felt led with some of these awesome speakers and that have really a lot going on in their lives to bring back speakers for a second time in a year, several months apart, to build on those experiences that they have had with their family members. One thing that we did was called Snowball. Julie interviewed one of our young mothers about 2 months ago, and she had this wonderful idea where she said, I like to, if you can interview me and we can talk about how to help young mothers and preschoolers and even grandmothers, we will try to handle all stages and ages. And then at the end, I want to allow the women to ask me questions, but I know we don't have time to do that here. So let's do something called Snowball, where I will give them a white sheet of paper. At the end of the meeting, they will write any questions they have that they are concerned about, maybe with their families, how to handle mean girls, how to handle fear, how to handle anxiety with their children, any questions that they have. And then wad those papers up and throw them to the front of the stage. And we had our young girl, Emma, run up and get all the questions. And then we told them, come back in 2 months and we're going to answer those questions. Now, we didn't answer them right away because we wanted to have time to put those in categories and see what questions were most asked. We also are doing, it's been interesting to see with our speakers that they are, I believe, being more relevant than ever as we deal with them. They're dealing with relationships that deal with rejection, forgiveness, mother and daughters. We're dealing with, we have some speakers that are dealing with the unexpected in life, maybe the loss of a spouse to a drunk driver, an unplanned pregnancy. And some of these things make us relevant, which is a key to reaching that next generation.
And I will tell you, go ahead, Cindy.
No, go ahead, Julie.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, one of our speakers also said to me, can we have our friends pay online? And I had not gone to the trouble of setting up a PayPal account. I just didn't think it was necessary. And she told me, if you're trying to reach that generation, they don't have a checkbook and they don't carry cash. So you better have it set up where they can pay. And so I set it up. And what's hysterical is after our event on Tuesday, I had been pulled into my driveway before we had two prepaid reservations for our next event. And they were from young
wow.
women. So it just shows you. And also, I was going to suggest for the ladies listening, that snowball thing would work for any group. If you are trying to get to the heart of what your people, your attendees are, what they care about, have them do that and then search for speakers. If you see a common thread of like fear or something like that, find the speaker that answers that concern and program your, or set your program to address those things. And you will draw people back like you cannot believe.
Wow.
Okay, one other thing I want to tell you guys is, Cindy alluded to the fact that we've had some challenges. But I can tell you, when you are doing this, the enemy will not like it. And he will oppose you. Don't be surprised. And don't be challenged when you're hit with unexpected challenges. They occur at very difficult times. One time last year, Cindy was on vacation. This was after her brother-in-law had passed away, and they just needed to get away for a while to refresh themselves. Our chairman resigned, effective immediately, due to a family issue. Within the same week, we had another key member off our event planning team have to resign because of health issues. And I can tell you, Cindy and I took it to God, and we prayed for a name of who the next chairman would be. Now, nobody came to either of our minds, and we thought, what in the world are we going to do? There was so much pressure to put somebody in the position. A lot of our committee had a hard time thinking, how are we going to go forward if we don't have a chair? But we felt like God was telling us to wait. And so we asked him, how do we do this? And what we decided was we decided to take all of the responsibilities of the chairman and truly spread it among the administrative team. And then we decided we would use young people that were coming that were very enthusiastic that couldn't sign up to be chairman, but they could chair a meeting. And we rotated five different women. One was a former chairman that had gone back to work because her husband had passed away and she could not chair any longer, but she was willing to step in as we needed her. And the thing we found that was so fun is that we can pick the person to chair that fits with whatever the theme is and the personality that would go with the speaker. And so we have been able to grow up so many young people that are coming into leadership because of this. We can encourage them, and our team gets behind these people, and really, they're very motivated. We had one other thing that happened that was really concerning, and that was after we had already passed out the invitations for an event, and we're getting reservations, I called to confirm things with the venue that we were using, and they found out they had double booked us, and that they had to honor the other group because they were bringing in people from out of town. They had a band. It was a big deal. And I knew we were going to have to yield, but I didn't know what we were going to do. We always met Thursday night because we thought that we chose to step back and move it to a Tuesday night. The venue agreed to pay to have our invitations reprinted, and we found out later it was God, because we were able to reach more people. People said Tuesdays were much better, and we would never have found that out had we had not had that experience. And I think in ministry, our generation expects that if it's God, it's going to be easy. And when they get resistance, we have a tendency to think maybe this is God pulling us back. But when you look at the Bible, the great news of God, they were always challenged. It was difficult. Nothing came easy. And so I don't know why we don't expect the opposition, but we can't let the opposition that we face take us away from where we're going and our purpose, and keep focusing on getting the lost people to your groups and reaching every generation. We are learning to expect the opposition, but then we expect to see God move.
Mm, amen. That is so awesome. And we're going to... I'm sorry, I was going to keep us going. Did you have one more thing, Julie?
Cindy was going to tell about group meet.
You know, Cheryl,
oh, yeah.
We need to move on. That's okay. Would you like to do that so we can keep everything timely?
Yeah, but I think your group me won't take that long. Just explain that, and then
no.
We're going to move on.
Okay, it's a free group me app, and we're always looking to other organizations as well as churches and seeing what's out there. And so we learned about this free group me app, and what we've done, it's a group me text. And so we have a woven group me text, and we put little text on there, anything that can excite our group, motivate them, involve them. We share concerns, we have prayer concerns. We put this on the group me prayer text today: please pray for our conference call today, this will be going out, and we're just praying for that. And and it's just been a great help to people to know we're prayed over, or we're getting ready to pray over our group, or let's all pray before our event tomorrow. It has kept us very close together. So that's just one of the little extra tips we wanted to throw in there. And we're just excited to be a part of seeing what God's doing. And I would say, most of all, just keep looking forward. We believe God has immeasurably more for each of us, for Stonecroft and for all of our clubs. Back to you, Cheryl. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ladies. And I will come back around for some Q&A just at the end, but we'd like to now welcome Anita Bacon, who is charging forward there in Alaska. Anita, would you push *5 on your phone and join us and share a little about what you're doing there?
Thank you, Cheryl. I did push *6, and I also wanted to push Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me. Call to me. We did that, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. We didn't know why the younger generations wouldn't come to our meetings. And we said, well, Jeremiah 33:3, we got a phone call here, and we want to know the great and mighty things that we don't know. I can't thank Cindy and Julie enough for giving us these tips about the younger generation. Anyone who's younger than me is a younger generation, and I'm not telling you my age, because we were always told not to tell our age or weight, and I think that's still a great policy. But how do I get with this next generation? Here in Alaska, we have not had a lot of women's connections. We had two that were going functionally well, and then one Vital Network. Those two women's connections are no longer. How do we get the next generation going, especially when these young women today have so much on their plate, between radio and TV broadcasting, digital marketing, cell phones, and social media? I don't think there's ever been a generation that's been so bombarded by constant messaging, and with nearly every second filled with someone or something trying to sway their actions and opinions, I think they feel overwhelmed. I felt overwhelmed as a young mom just with my own children. But they not only have children, but jobs and so many more things and opportunities. I love how in our Pray and Play groups, we have three of them here in Alaska, they always respect us older women, listening to what we say, and they often ask for our opinion, which we don't mind giving. I find that's easy to do. But we do have this perspective where they feel as if too big of a group is a little overwhelming to them. They do like the smaller groups. And so we found we had to be sensitive to their lifestyles, their viewpoints as young women, and not be critical of the way they build relationships. Instead of trying to convince them of our way being the best way, no, we needed to join them and join what they're doing and let the Holy Spirit show them where they're supposed to be and what they're doing. And I have found that my generation is being more learning to be accepting of the younger generation. I've often had opportunities, not just being a teacher, I've had a lot of opportunities to see my students grow up and join these pray and plays or do some Stonecroft Bible studies. And that has been fun to see that I've been in their life for so long. But I've also found that not only do these younger women have a tendency to want more one-on-one interaction and smaller groups, but they also see that reaching their peeps is a little different than how we did it with ours. My generation loved and loved big, huge events. They don't like that big one. So what we're doing here in Alaska is asking our Stonecroft former leaders as well as Stonecroft volunteers right now to envision starting hubs this fall. And we have four major population areas. And in these four major population areas, we'd like to see hubs start to grow. It means we need the right women, younger women generationally, to be called of God. But not to worry, he's been in that business for so many millenniums. God can raise up his younger leader for such a time as this. So we're hosting on September 29th a Stonecroft Gather, Dream, and Go in Anchorage, which is the largest population. And it's followed by an 80th anniversary legacy luncheon where we're inviting all former Stonecroft leaders, former volunteers, and volunteers right now to come to this legacy luncheon where the history of Stonecroft in Alaska will be presented. We've asked our own Cheryl Davis, Vice President of Women's Connections, to be there, the keynote speaker. But before that legacy luncheon, we're having the Gather, Dream, and Go event in the morning, inviting these young women who want to give the gospel to their age group. And we know that handing them this flyer will mean a difference of they have to make a decision. Do I really need this? But all we're going to tell them is, do you want to see your neighbor or your friend or your coworker come to Jesus? If you do, we invite you to come to this one-day event on the 29th of September where you can hear and you can dream together and you can go and do it your way. I'm so glad that our Western Field Director, Autumn Katz, is coming to be that keynote speaker in the morning. Cheryl will be doing our legacy luncheon and the history, and we're going to thank God for the 80 years God has given Stonecroft. And then in the afternoon, we're going to go, and both of them will be presenting some of the exciting, brand-new ministries that's happening. And we've done some of those ministries here in Alaska, but we're having them wrap it all up. What do we expect? Do we expect a lot of people? No, we expect those God has chosen because we too believe it's a once in a lifetime. And I'm so excited that the Stonecrofters that we have connected with through Stonecroft speaker praise and military praise and pray and plays, I'm excited that they are going to come and they're going to use this flyer and just invite their own younger generation of women. I know that when I was a young woman at 25 years old, I found the greatest, sweetest fellowship around my Stonecrofters. We didn't talk about church. We didn't talk about politics. And I'm so glad that we didn't talk about Asian weight because I was pregnant and gaining weight. But anyway, I was just so thankful that we had that sweet centered around Jesus, because the gospel is Jesus. And everyone can come together and have that. Well, what better way than to get our younger generation to pass this baton on to them and say, come to this one day event and we'll see what God does. And I'm going to ask everyone on this call to be sure to pray for September 29th. We truly believe here in Alaska, it is once in a lifetime. And yes, we do a lot of other things in Stonecroft, but we want the next generation to take it the way they want to do it, to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for having me on the phone. And thank you, Cindy and Julie, for exciting tips. I've written them down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Anita. And we're going to keep on going all the way from Alaska now, all the way across the country to Georgia and Connecticut. And Georgia, we'd love to hear how God has been moving you to into your neighborhood.
Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate the opportunity to share with everyone. And I'm not only in Connecticut, I'm in Maine. So I'm really a long ways from Anita in Alaska. And I too, I am very excited to hear all the tips and all the enthusiasm and all that God is doing. What I wanted to share today is a little, probably a little more personal. It's not about an event or how we can have events. What happened to me is that God really laid it on my heart to, try to meet the women in my neighborhood. And just about the time that God laid that on my heart was about the time that the Loving Your Neighbors Bible study came out. That Janice Mathers did. And I loved it. And, as I've gone through it just by myself to see what it was, and because God had really laid that on my heart, something that she had said and quoted from John Piper really, really struck me. She quoted Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then she quoted John Piper saying, it's an absolutely staggering commandment. If this is what it means, then something unbelievably powerful and earth-shaking and reconstructing and overturning and upending will happen to in our soul, something supernatural, something well beyond what self-preserving, self-enhancing, self-exalting, self-esteeming, self-advancing human beings can do on their own. And that's kind of how I felt. As I read that, I thought, I need to really know my neighbors. And as I've lived in this neighborhood for over 40 years, the neighborhood has changed. So what happened was, as I prayed, it came to my mind that I needed to do come meet the women of our neighborhood. And so what I did was we have a new neighbor across the street who had a brand new baby. And I know that people had not met her yet. So I went over and talked with her, found a date that she could come. And then I made little invitations to come meet the women of our neighborhood and the newest member of our neighborhood, this little baby, and gave the name and so on. And what I just invited women to come to my house and have coffee on a Saturday morning. So the biggest challenge is that I don't know all my neighbors' names, nor do I know their addresses. So I'm thinking, how do I get these invitations out to these women that I don't know their names? So what I did was I printed them up and I put them in little plastic sandwich bags. And because it's illegal to put it into a mailbox without going through the post office, I tacked them or used a paper clip and attached it to the mailbox post. And I went up and down my road in my car and just stuck it in onto their mailbox, the post to the mailbox. And fortunately, most of those people in my neighborhood, which I live in the country, have mailboxes still. Some of them I probably missed. But those were the people that, that was the only way I could figure out how to do it. So the first time I did this, I just, my challenge was to make it simple. So instead of using my pretty dishes and all the stuff that we used to love to do when having prayer connections and all of that, I used paper plates, paper cups, made coffee, had water for tea. I bought baked goods, and I had a neighbor who I do know, and she volunteered to bring something. So the first time I had five women come, and the woman who had volunteered to bring something, she had taken her husband to the hospital early that morning. So when she came in, I asked her if she could stay, and she said, yes, I'd love a cup of coffee. So she met the other women who were there whom she did not know. So we learned that this woman obviously had some needs and her husband had been very sick. So it gave an opportunity for me to keep contact with her. And eventually what we were able to do, my husband and I actually went up and prayed with her and her husband before he went into surgery. So we've started building those kinds of bridges. Interestingly enough, we did not say one word about God the first time that they came. So I was kind of discouraged, and I thought, no, I need to step back and say I did what God asked me to do. So about, I was sharing it with a neighbor who lives on the other end of my road, and she said that she would love to participate and invite some of the women down at the other end of the road. So a couple weeks ago, we had another one. This time I was able to put some names to some of the women I didn't know. And in between this first one I had and this second one, we had had an outreach meeting. Two young women from my neighborhood came, one I knew, one I did not. And so I invited them to come, and they had expressed an interest in a small group Bible study. So they came. I put out the invitations again. Some I had to leave again by in the little sandwich bags. Others I had been able to mail. And I had eight women come this time. And as we sat there and visited and interacted with each other, one of those women who had come to the outreach meeting talked about we're still interested in a Bible study. So that got a little conversation about a Bible study going. And those women couldn't do anything until they were out of school, because they were both, they had kids in school or teaching. So they just got out of school yesterday. So I will be getting in touch with them again to see about a Bible study. But they said it in front of the others. So other people expressed an interest also. So what we decided to do was to meet again around in the end of the summer, beginning of fall, just before school started, and try to have another one. So I'm praying that God will just use this for me to interact with women and also to do acts of kindness. We've been able to share with the family that whose husband went into the hospital. And this time another neighbor had fallen and broken her ankle. So I was able to bring a meal the other day, and again, praying for them and telling them that I would be praying for them. So I'm kind of doing this small little area, but really trying to reach out and broaden my scope so that I'm just not staying in my holy huddle and meeting new people and the people in my neighborhood. So that's really how God is working in my life, but he certainly is using that Bible study, and I'm hoping to that I can encourage others to go through that Bible study, either by themselves or with a group of women, because I think it's very challenging.
Well, that is great. Thank you, Georgia, so much for sharing your heart about that. And ladies, thank you, all of you, Cindy and Julie and Anita, for sharing all these wonderful ideas with us. And I hope everyone was encouraged to share them with other volunteers and start thinking of ways to implement them in your areas. We're getting a little close to our ending, so we'll want to just have a little prayer time. Anita, would it be possible maybe for you to close us in prayer and include your legacy luncheon and some of the other things that we've talked about today?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Heavenly Father, when I think of Mrs. Bogg trusting you with Jeremiah 33:3, you invited her to call to you. You invited not just us calling to you, but Lord, I thank you so much for giving to us the promise that you will answer. And you're not only going to answer small, but great and mighty. So, Father, with those great and mighty things that we aren't even knowing about, we're asking you to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to your power that works within us. Father, you have done so much for this ministry in the 80 years that we celebrate. And we think of how you have been many generations before done the great and mighty, if people would just call to you. And thank you so much for blessing even our little effort up here in Alaska to try to find those women you're calling to be a part of the hubs in these four major populated areas. And there's many more populated areas in the lower 48 and all throughout these United States and Canada and the world. Lord, we ask that you would do the great and the mighty. Because that's who you are. You alone are great and mighty. And we ask that the gospel of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you gave to us and cleansed us from all of our sin and given us eternal life, would be able to be brought to every neighbor like Georgia is doing, every one of our neighbors, and every one of those people that you're bringing into our paths. And everyone on this call today, Lord, we ask that you would continually encourage them. And yes, we were given the warning of the enemy and what he does. But Lord, we're not afraid. We are courageous because you are with us. You go before us. We follow you. Father, thank you so much for those working in our staff at home office. Multiply their time and their efforts in that business field too. We thank you for the board meetings and those that are serving as directors on our board of directors. We ask again for insights to be given that they may see 10 years in the future, 20 years, or I should say until you come. Thank you, Father, for blessing them. And thank you for each person who absolutely is in love with you because you gave them eternal life. And we praise you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.